So open in prayer. And Father, I just ask that that whatever words come out of my mouth be what we need to hear, what we need to focus on this day. And I thank you that even in the glitches, you're with us, and may we be blessed this day. Thank you. Amen. You can sit. I have the clicker too. I am not very well versed with this. Fear not. And I've had fear today. It's not my message. This is God's message, right? Amen. So this coming week, we've got an election that has the potential to move this country closer to God's ways or further apart. So it's a time of uncertainty and a time that brings out our human tendency to worry and to nurture fears about our futures. And Israel just had its elections too. And much about that nation and their government is dependent upon the final vote. And I know we're all thinking, okay, Netanyahu won, it was a landslide, but he doesn't have his coalition put together yet, which is something they have to do there. And you know, we'll have to see in the next couple weeks what happens with that. And he has been great in the past, and there's also been other things that have not been so great, like giving away land for peace. So we'll see what happens. Both of our countries have a great deal at stake this time. And we're going to have a blood moon or a moon eclipse or something on election day. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, too. So it's natural for us to be concerned. And the concerns, they're real. Values are being challenged at the deepest level. It's hard not to fall into the what if this person wins, what if that person wins, what if this happens. But so we think about what can we do? Well, the tools that we have are our mouths, so we can be spreading to people that we know what our values are, what our beliefs are. And we can cast our ballots. And we're supposed to do that. We have the right to do that, and we should. The other fears that we have right now, I think, are personal battles. Some of us may be feeling like we're in exile from families, from job situations, whatever. We may also have some of those things. But the solution's the same. So all of this, it's like, what does that have to do with this Haftorah portion of Isaiah? Isaiah seemed to address two peoples at the same time. Yaakov, the man who was before wrestling with God, which is sort of just the general folks. And Israel, after he has wrestled with God, and he's encountered him, and at that point he's had a new name and a new purpose. And we're part of Israel. So he's not just talking to individuals here. The only difference is one met face-to-face with God and should have known better than the other. He shouldn't have been in fear. He should have known God's claims. So yet the nation, the peoples are in exile. All of them are in the point of desperation. Everybody, those who have strong beliefs and those who are just kind of getting along every day. So they're fearing that they'll never be freed. God's abandoned them because they haven't been faithful. They haven't totally forgotten God because they're still praying, but they feel like he's not hearing. So they're out of touch, and they don't think he'll ever answer their prayers. How many of you have felt that way? I've had a lot of times in my personal life, and it seems like he's never going to hear. Nothing's ever going to change. I've had a lot of those. But sometimes it happens when we're messing up, but it also comes when there's enemies outside of ourselves because they disagree with us, they're jealous, or just because we belong to God. So in this portion, these people are in exile in Babylon. Abraham was in exile in Egypt. The Israelites earlier were in exile in Egypt. They were being attacked. Their faith was challenged. The words lech lecha, directly translated, means go to yourself. We always think of it as go forth, but a really literal translation is go to yourself. So it's different than what we usually think of. But the meaning doesn't contradict the direction to go out. Abraham had a calling to go into his purpose and into the plan that God had for him. And it's really the same for us. Along the way, Abraham ended up in Egypt. You know, he thinks he's going into this promised land and all these things are going to be great. And then there's a famine and he has to go into exile. But maybe it wasn't just a famine for physical food, but a famine of God's word, tying it to the famine that sent Israel to Babylon. But God still had a plan. The exile didn't last forever, and eventually Israel did reach back to God while in exile. And the stage was set for God to show another part of the world who he was. So they're in exile in a place that doesn't know God. So him going there opens that up. In the meantime, though, the people in exile fell into the same trap that most of us fall into. We forget Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. He's the king of the universe, and he's chosen us. In spite of our weakness, in spite of our faithlessness at times, we're still his, and he is still for us. To Jacob and Israel, he says, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners. I said to you, you're my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. What an incredible thing to be chosen by the king of the universe. So this promise is for us too. Isaiah's coming to the people to give them hope in what seems like a hopeless situation. He's reminding them of who God is, and he's trying to pull them out of their self-pity, out of that sense of hopelessness that they're in. He reminds them and us that even if we're as helpless as worms, and that's in the scripture, he still hears and rescues us. I know it's kind of, but think of a worm coming up out of the earth. They have no protection. They have nothing. And we're referred to as worms. Isaiah also brings a message from God that he'll make us into a sharp threshing board. And that's like a tool. I looked up pictures of it that's got all these sharp things, sort of like a cheese grater. But it's, you know, so it's got these sharp points for threshing that they used. But he says, we will thresh mountains and pulverize them and make hills like chaff. That's a huge promise. So how often do you see the things that oppose you as mountains that are in your way, like you can't get where you need to go, or hills that just slow your journey down? You can still go, but it's going to take a lot longer. But this is a promise that they won't be able to always stand against you. They will be defeated and moved out of the way, and exile will not last forever. Exile's not a situation we want to be in. His people have been in exile so many times, and each time their faith was challenged. But exile doesn't have to be a bad thing. It gives us obstacles to overcome, and in that, we build tools for facing the next challenge. It builds strength in us. It can build our faith if we'll let it. It can actually take the word of God, as I said a little bit earlier, into places that don't have it. When they were exiled to Egypt, it left the fragrance of the Almighty behind. Amen. And the same with Babylon. Amen. The exile made a way of redemption for many after them. So God has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for the elections and for each of your individual lives and mine. We're being sent into our purposes just as Abram was, and just as those in exile in Babylon were. God says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And regardless of the outcome of the elections or your personal exiles, he says, you will rejoice in the Lord. You will boast in the Holy One of Israel. And there's no reason to fear because our God's got this. Selah. Amen.